One power is enough. One power is all there is. You and I and everyone else are created from that one power. We come into form and existence, not coming out of that power, but coming into that power, living within it, and it living through us. As you can see, we're in a different location today, but this is still CSL Midtown, and I am here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. We have some challenges this morning with the electricity and the internet in the Tucker neighborhood, so it's a good thing, and we have wonderful outdoor spaces, and I'm at my daughter's home using her internet. It's a rich and easy and wonderful thing. Glad to be out here in the sunshine. So we are a center that welcomes all people. We welcome all people regardless of who you are, regardless of how you understand yourself, what pronouns you believe or what pronouns you use or what ideas you have about who you are and how you are showing up in the world. Because whoever you are, whatever you are still the divine showing up in a particular way. You are still that infinite, that one power, taking many shapes and forms and showing up. So thank you for showing up. Thank you for showing up in your life as the wonderful being that you are and showing up and being part of this expression as well. So I want to welcome you all and say thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your support and to remind you of who you are. So to tell you more about who we are, we're going to talk just a moment. In a moment, we're going to hear a video, see a video on our Declaration of Principles by some of our board members and some of our practitioners. Take a listen. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. If you'd like to see that whole, the larger expression of our Declaration of Principles, you'll find that on our on the internet at csl.org, along with the full version of it, which has a lot more information and a lot more parts. It's a place where you can dive in and know what parts of that really are true for you. So next, we're going to hear from one of our practitioners. A practitioner is someone who knows how to use this teaching to heal their own lives, to bring about change, and to do the same thing for others. Today, our practitioner is wonderful. I've known her for many years. She's been a practitioner for many years. I won't tell you how many because she doesn't look nearly as old as she is. So here I give you, without further nonsense, Judy Ailey. Welcome, Judy.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Happy Father's Day to all. I was thinking about Father's Day today and realize that my father made his transition 20 years ago on Father's Day. I always thought that was a really interesting time to choose to make your transition, Dad. We will never forget you. I guess he was trying to make sure we would never forget him. Anyway, bless him and bless all fathers for all that you bring to the world. Well, today's theme is compassionate relationships. It was interesting to me that this week's readings in the Living the Science of Mind spoke about how to get along with others. So I think Ernest Holmes has some good thoughts about this that relate to the idea of compassionate relationships. And one of the points that he makes is this, that in order to be with others, and you know, we can't live without other people as much as some people might want to try to, that we must enjoy other people and interact with them without in any way seeking to control their actions. He further says that the one who has many friends and relationships is the one who can work and play with others and at the same time leave them alone, or in other words, let go of trying to control or change them. So we strive to allow others to be exactly who they are. We neither wish to dominate others nor wish them to dominate us. There is a flexibility in this way of being. We can allow others to have their differing opinions, knowing that their opinions are right for them. There is a term that is used here that's helpful, and the term is non-resistance. You know, when we think about relationships, there is a place where we begin and end physically with other people in the world. There is this appearance of separation. But there really is no place where we are separate from others mentally or spiritually. A key to this is knowing that spirit or God is in everyone. And as we meet others, if we meet the God in others, we can stand back and see what happens. If I know that I am one with God and spirit, and all people are one with God and spirit, that we all live in God, when I meet others, it is a God in them that I am meeting. So if I take this approach in my relationships with others, be it my life partner, close friends, other family members, casual acquaintances, or just people I meet in the grocery store, these will be compassionate relationships in that I will be coming from a place of unity, love, and wholeness, allowing others to be exactly who they need to be as spirit interacting with itself. All right. So with those thoughts and ideas, let's move into a time of prayer and spiritual mind treatment. So if you would just take some time right now to just allow yourself to relax and be fully present in this moment. Maybe take a nice, slow, deep breath to just bring your attention to being right here and right now, just letting go of anything else that you may have been thinking about or wondering about or anticipating in the future or concerned about in the past. We let go of all of that and instead know that this is our moment of creation. This is our moment of power. So as I do this, I know that God is all there is, that this presence and power is everywhere present. It is all that there is. It is everything I see around me. It is every person. It is every piece of nature. It is every animate object in my home, in my world, in my city, everything. And as I know this, I know that I am a piece of it. I know that I am also filled with this presence, filled with God, filled with this goodness. And as I sink into knowing this, knowing my unity with this presence and with this power, I am grateful. I know that this power is a presence for good, and I align myself with it. I know that all that I desire and all that I put out in my word to this law, to this universal presence, returns to me, comes to me, is manifested in my life. I know that the truth of me, as I am aligned and immersed in this presence and this power for good, that the truth for me and for every other person, as you take this for yourself, that our natural state of being is that of vibrant health, that this presence and this power renews us, makes all things new in our physical bodies, in our relationships, in our affairs, in our creative endeavors, as we desire to express more and more of this fabulous power for good, this fabulous presence of life, as we desire to express more and more of that in our lives. I take this time to really let go of past mistakes or past things that seem like a mistake or old beliefs in the necessity of struggle, strain, illness, lack, limitation. I let go of all that and know that that is all in the past, that that is not the truth of who I am. And instead, I embrace this day, this moment, knowing that I am one with this power, one with this presence, and that I am loved, I am supported, I am divinely guided and directed in all that I do. So I'm just grateful for this. And I just know that my words and my beliefs are powerful and that they reflect back into my life as a life that is full of meaning, joy, love, health, prosperity, and goodness of every kind. So I'm just grateful for this, and I release this now, knowing that it is so, and so it is.
When I think of those times, I cannot help but smile. I chose that song today because I've recently been reconnected, or have reconnected, with an old friend that I reached out to, and that for whatever reason, many years ago, we lost touch. And yet we had walked many miles together and shared some pretty amazing experiences and times. And yet our differences, our samenesses, those things about us that each drew our uniqueness, drew us apart, and we stopped communicating. We each have our own version of why that happened and how that happened. But what's beautiful about it is the compassion and the love that we shared for each other back when is alive and well, just as it was then. We hear all the time the cliche that love is eternal, and it truly is, including those loves you've had that don't seem to be part of your life anymore. And yet, given the way time works, and it's always spinning simultaneously over all time, then that love is alive and well today, just as it was then. And I'm bringing that up today because we're talking about compassionate relationships. And sometimes I think we are not so compassionate with ourselves about past relationships, about relationships that seem to have been lost, relationships that went a different way, relationships that we may have guilt about, or we may feel we should have some kind of request for forgiveness from the other people or the other person. Old resentments, old hurts. Compassionate relationships is all about rising above that into a greater way of knowing, into a greater experience of life. Today is also Father's Day. A wonderful day for me and for many. This is when my family celebrates my being their father. It is also when I get to celebrate my father's, plural. And it's when that can be joyful and powerful. It can also be painful and sad. For so many people, Father's Day is not a day of joy. It's a day of remembering difficult times. It's a day of remembering people who perhaps were hurtful to us or did harm to us. And for most people, it's a mixed bag. So how do we do that? How do we hold these two different things in our world? This reality sometimes of events, this smaller reality of illusion of experiences and appearances and people struggling with their truth and with their knowing and loving at whatever level of function or dysfunction they might do that, with that awareness that underneath and behind that, there is still love. There's still a power. There's still a goodness. And sometimes that's a real challenge to pull together and to balance those things. So we have Father's and Father's Day. We have all kinds of, we also are celebrating another day tomorrow, which is Juneteenth, Juneteenth, which was the day, celebration of the day of the final emancipation, when all of the slaves in the South had gotten the information that they were free. It had taken a while to get to Texas and to travel throughout the South, and throughout the country, really. And that happened on the anniversary of this date. So we celebrate that. It's a day of freedom for everyone, because if anyone is holding someone else in slavery, then the person holding them is not free either, because they're part of a process that denies the truth of being for ourselves and for those being hurt. I'm not saying it's the same, because it isn't, but each person is locked in and caught. You know, and that's true in the relationships too. One of the key words that my teacher taught in terms of relationships, one of the key phrases he said repeatedly, if you're having trouble in the relationship, mind your own business. He said it with a great deal of force and always ruling his sentence and making him sound very official. Because too often our struggles in relationships are about slavery and freedom, are about bondage and freedom, or about holding people or trying to hold people into some sort of preconceived idea of who we are in such a way that they are being held in some kind of bondage, some kind of hold, and are not free to express themselves. Too often we get into these relationships where one side of the relationship is the wild, free, and fun person. The other side of the relationship is the, oh, we're going to control everything person. We got to help you stay focused and grounded and keep you from being who you seem to think you are. Those relationships are troublesome in the least. You all know there are lots of programs for both sides of that. But that's kind of irrelevant, because what really matters as far as the programs go, it matters that you get to a place wherever you are, whichever side of that, where true freedom abounds. You know, my father was someone who was, like many men of his generation, pretty well destroyed internally by his participation in World War II. He was in the invasion of Germany, and he saw the horrors as they moved in towards Germany and some of the concentration camps and other things. He was exposed to horrible things that no 17 and 18 year old, which is what he was at the time, should be exposed to or ever see. Consequently, there were leftovers. There were leftover emotions, leftover feelings, leftover processes inside of him to try and monitor, manage, and take care of all that stuff. And that left some of us in the family receiving the brunt of some of that. It wasn't always pleasant. It wasn't always easy. But underneath and behind that, I knew from the depth of my being that he loved me. And he loved all of us. And so we tolerated it. We worked with it. We tried to help him stay comfortable. Sadly, he passed away when I was 7, when he was only 30. And in the years after that, my compassionate caring, my compassionate relationship, which was strictly in my own consciousness, slid through several different phases and motions. And that's really kind of what that looked like and how that developed is what I want to focus on today. So think about this, whether you're thinking about it in terms of your partner, your some other relationship, your parents, your children. Because when there is difficulty in relationships, part of that is because none of us have quite made it yet to perfection on the outside. We know that within us, there's a divine perfection. There's a divine order to everything that's going on, but it hasn't always made it into our behavior, into our feelings, into our beliefs about ourselves, so that often the way we are with each other becomes anything but perfect, easy. So I want us to do that by thinking about one of the things Dr. Holmes said in the textbook, page 53, where he very powerfully said, it is our role to look any discordant fact in the face and know better. In other words, to look at people as their wholeness of who they are, their beauty, their power, their goodness, and their ugliness, perhaps, or their hurt or their pain or that source within them of difficulty. To look at that clearly and know better. Know that underneath and within, even that struggle, even that pain, even that hurtfulness, there is a good that's trying to come through. And that good may get interpreted by us in many different ways. But the important thing is you look at it, you look at it, you look at it until you see the perfection behind it. That may take a while. One of my teachers, or one of my, not direct teachers, but one of the person I knew and worked with back in the day in this teaching, used to say, there's good in this and I demand to see it. She'd stomp her foot and shake her shoulders and as if God was standing in front of her, and she's like, I demand that. But the demand she was making was on her own consciousness, to see deeper, to see within herself. What is the good here? What is the power here? Yeah. Part of the good for me that grew out of my father, grew from that relationship, was a commitment, a lifetime commitment to knowing God. My father was converted in the Baptist church about 6 months before he died. His behavior completely changed. How he related to me, to the rest of the family, how he was with all of us, went from being always bursting forth with anger into a more mellow and forgiving kind of place. I'll never forget that being out about that after he was baptized, we were walking out to the car at night. He was carrying his clothes because they had, you know, they dunk them in the Baptist church. You don't just get sprinkled, you get dunked all the way down, so you're wet all over, and then you come up a new person, is the belief. And he very much believed that. He had his clothes all wrapped up in a bundle. They were sopping wet. He had on some clean clothes. We got almost to the car and he stumbled or something and dropped them. And they all fell in the dirt. I went tearing around behind my mother to hide, because usually with something like that, it would be followed by a burst of rage and anger and calling himself names and anyone else who was around. And instead, he laughed. He laughed because something had changed in him just by the commitment on his part to know God and to be one with God in a different way than he'd ever been before. I followed that same path as far as I could go with it until I moved on into the greater freedom of this teaching. But what was so powerful for me was the recognition that this God stuff means something. This looking beyond the surface into that deeper place of infinite spirit has power to change our lives. And it started my lifelong quest, which, you know, went into ministry when I was 19, became a minister, and I've been a minister since, doing all kinds of ministry, sometimes in pulpit, sometimes in other things. But the point I want to make in that is there was good underneath, in spite of the troubledness of the relationship. In some ways, having seen the difficulties before that conversion experience and then the change afterwards had a profound, profound effect on me and was a huge and beautiful gift to me for helping me choose how to live my life. You know, whatever is going on in a relationship, there is that place behind and underneath where it is possible to see the good. It is possible to see the God. It is possible to see the power. It is possible to see the truth. Now, the challenge with this is twofold. Because staying in that center of recognizing God is all there is. Life is unfolding in perfect beauty. And this person is a mess that's in my life, or I'm a mess in my own life. And being able to hold both of those things at the same time becomes a really powerful thing. And the challenges come when we slide one way or the other in our sense of reality. If we see that the ultimate reality, or we believe that the ultimate reality is that which is happening on the outside, that which is showing up in someone's behavior, or showing up in their feelings, or showing up in what they're doing or how they're speaking, then we can suddenly get defensive and say, that person is just whatever. You know what I'm talking about. They're just rageful. They're just a Democrat. They're just a Republican. You know, we're doing that to each other these days. And assuming all kinds of things in all of those labels based on external behavior and our beliefs about their external behavior. Or you can slide off on the other side. And no matter what happens or what another person says or does, we can just say, oh, they're God. They're the divine. I'm going to pretend all that other stuff is not there and just kind of go my own separate way. This teaching does not ask us to pretend anything. It asks us to look discordant facts squarely in the face and know better. Know that this person may have a reason for being troubled, may have a reason for the behavior they're putting forward, may have a reason why they're grasping one group or another and excluding all else. It's freedom. Freedom is to know and to recognize and compassionate relationships. Compassion is not like passion. It's compassion. It's bigger than passion. It's bringing our energy and passion into a relationship, but also seeing clearly what is needed, where the hurts are, where the pain is, where the healing can be. And then making our connections with people accordingly. When I understood, since my father died when I was very young, there was a lot about his story I didn't know. I didn't understand the World War II troubles. All I'd ever heard from the rest of his uncles, his brothers, and his uncles about World War II was what great camaraderie they had, and how they took care of each other, and how much they loved each other, and how much they made sure and protected each other and kept them safe. I didn't hear about the horrors that they saw. They protected the family from all of that. But as I grew older and did some more research and began to understand where he had been and what he had seen, and when I understood something about his upbringing, what kind of childhood experiences he had, I found a very different understanding of his earlier behavior prior to his conversion experience. And instead of being totally angry and ready to write off any kind of thoughts about him, I was able to feel compassion for what he'd been through. I had that same experience with 9/11, and this is a bit off. Maybe you don't want to hear this, but I'm saying it, so you decide. Where my thought after 9/11, when the buildings came down, I thought, what pain and horror and belief system must be inside of people to think that the only solution to their own freedom and their own power and to please their own God was to blow up other people and blow down buildings and take out, you know, whole communities. That was so horrible to me, and it was so sad. And so a group of us began to meet and do some prayer work and imagine our leaders who were in office at the time as small children playing together on the playground, getting along, laughing, and having a great old time, because there was something inside of each of them that was far different from that which showed on the outside with the bombings and the planes and the attacks and all that went on with 9/11 and still goes on in the aftermaths. So what am I suggesting? I'm suggesting as a religious scientist, as someone who's practicing this new thought teaching, my role, my responsibility, my option is to see beyond the external behavior, to see within the hearts of other people, to think about how I am like them. Because as Judy said, we may appear to be separate and different on the outside, but on the inside, there's one mind, there's one heart, there's one belief system, there's one goodness. And that goodness and that power is what counts and what matters. And the more we can turn our attention to that, not by ignoring the rest, but by looking at how that balances with the external behaviors, how that can be their understanding of their greatest good, then we can find compassion. Then we can find a heart's opening and caring for those folks, whoever they might be. So you don't want to slide off to being all about, oh, it's so good and everything's God, or it's only bad and it's only awful and the external behavior is the only thing that counts. Instead, we hold our hands open with both visions, both views held closely and tightly to our hearts. We bring this together knowing that there's a power for good in the universe and we can use it. And there's a power for good in the universe that can use us and can allow us to see and know who we are. And as an extension of that, if I have a better understanding of myself, then I know more about who you are. But if I've shut off myself and shut off parts of me, I can't very well know you, because we are all living in the same power, the same energy, the same universe, with the same mind, the same heart. I often think that the reason we have such struggles is only because people who are desiring to have the same thing. We all want love. We all want protection. We all want freedom. We all want joy in our lives. We all want safety for our families. We all want love. We have such different ideas about how to get it that that's what gets us in trouble so often. So think about your friends that you've left behind, your father, perhaps, those places in your life where there seems to be no freedom, or where your freedom seems to be curtailed or bound in some way. And recognize and know that your birthright is a right of freedom. Your birthright is a right of love. And love can only grow more love. And you deserve the very best that life can bring you. And the very, very best that you can create in your life. And you do that by looking beyond, looking within, looking at the depth of people and of each other and of ourselves. And recognizing it's all good, it's all God. And underneath it, there is an organizing intelligence that brings all of this together and is carrying us forward into greater and greater truth and greater, greater living. So that's what you deserve. That's what I deserve, the very best. Because you're wonderful. So am I. And so it is. Thank you. Let's hear now from Judy to tell us a little more about who we are and what we're about.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Bob, for that beautiful talk on this Father's Day about compassionate relationships. So today is our opportunity to give back to our center. If you find that CSL Midtown is a place that feeds you spiritually and allows you to grow and to expand your life in every good way, we just allow you to have this moment to give something back to us. There's our website. You can easily give there, cslmidtown.org. There's also a QR code that you can scan. And so I hope that you'll take this opportunity to share what you can with us. Let's read our affirmation of prosperity now. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. Okay, back to Dr. Bob.
All right, so we have some exciting things coming up soon. Next weekend, Actually, we have a guest visiting for us for the entire weekend, Reverend Dr. Jim Lockhart. Excuse me. And on Saturday, he will be with us, and we will be sharing a look at the beloved community and what spiritual leadership may begin to look like as we move forward. Now, this is open for anyone who considers himself a spiritual leader. Since each of us is the center for spiritual living, then you're each a spiritual leader, whether in your life or for other people. So feel free to join us and let us know you're coming by responding to info@cslmidtown.org. We will be holding this in person at City of Light in Atlanta, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you there and then. Then on Sunday, he will be speaking to us on Sunday morning, talking further about the beloved community. And Sunday afternoon, there'll be a live workshop, also in person at City of Light, called Are You a Spiritual Edgewalker? This is an interesting idea. I'm fascinated by it. In my opinion, religious scientists have always been spiritual edgewalkers. We live out on the edge of truth and the edge of applying truth. And this is a workshop to help you get clear about where your edges are and what is your call to step beyond and to go forward into the larger thing. Really, really invite you, if you're in the area, in the Atlanta area, to join us for that. It is in the afternoon, beginning at 2 o'clock, goes to 5 o'clock. There is a requested donation of $40 a person. However, do not let whether you have or if you don't have that kind of money to give, come on anyway. We welcome you. And again, please reply to info@csl.org. Let us know your plan to come. I think that's it for now. And I'd like for you to join me in looking at our closing, which we do because it is our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that moves through me, that lives through me, and so it is. Have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Father's Day and June 10th. Thank you.